Let's have a good time in the Lord today. I know I want to do that. I sense that there's a spirit of just rest and peace in this place. And you can't get the spirit of rest and peace without the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Lord. You don't get anything that's good. I do have a message, and you guys know me very well enough to know that I intentionally listen to the Holy Spirit into anything that I'm speaking and sharing, because that's all I want you to hear. I don't want you to hear any of my words. If you hear just only my words, then I've missed it pretty much. I feel that very strongly, because I do think that, in fact, I will say this, and this is what I need to say, because God wants me to say it, is this, is the only thing in my life that is good comes from God. And you need to understand that. That's such a deep concept and a thought. So the only good things that come out of my mouth, that they are from God. So in other words, if there's something that seems and has an appearance of good but is only of human wisdom, that's all it is. And can it do good? It can do good in your life. It can help maybe, but as far as like helping you build a house or something, I could do that with my wisdom. But as far as what God wants to do in your life that is going to stick and last for eternity, that's going to come from God the Holy Spirit. And here's even the neat thing about that is it's God the Holy Spirit inside of you that's dwelling in you. That's just so good. That's giving you ears to receive and hear and then apply to your life to live out, right? So in turn, the only good that's coming out of your life is from where? God, right? So who gets all the glory? Man, that's easy. Let's go. What do you do like this? Boom. No, I won't do that. Please don't do that. Drop the mic. Just I want to get into a message that I really feel like it's going to be fun, because we're 2 weeks away from Sunrise Service, Easter Sunday. Something that inspired me a few weeks ago, and it was something Alfonso had asked the question. He asked the question, where was Jesus at in this point in his life, about a month away from being crucified? In knowing Alfonso in his heart and having a relationship with him, I knew exactly what he was asking. He wasn't asking where he was geographically. He was asking, where was he in his being, in his psyche, in his mind, in his heart, in his soul? Where was he? And here's the thing is, in knowing him very well enough to know that what Alfonso was really asking is, I love my relationship with my Lord so much. I want to connect to him in every aspect of his life. I want to know Jesus even more deeply than I do now, and I can't get enough of him. And that's really what he was asking. And so this message here today, it's a little bit inspired from that very thought and that question, because isn't that really what we're aspiring to do, is know God? And, you know, when you read through Ecclesiastes, you haven't either? I haven't either. I don't know where it is. If you find it, let me know. Is it that's Tonopah, California, huh? There probably is one. Crazies out there. That's the one thing that Solomon comes to in the book of Ecclesiastes, that there's only one thing that's left. All that's left is to fear God, and to love God, to know God. That's really it. It all comes down to that. I've learned everything. I've seen everything. I've pretty much done everything. And the only thing that's left is God. That's it. God. All this other stuff is just meaningless under the sun. All that's left is my relationship with God. Amen. So here I'm going to ask this question, and you guys know I love how to do this. This is how I come at myself. You guys have discovered that how I deal with myself is how I kind of portray these messages, and what God is speaking is in a question form to get me to think, to get me to do something, to act on something that I'm thinking in my life. And so the question is, of what spirit is governing my life? Of what spirit? What type of spirit? What spirit is governing my life? And the word governing, I think I'm going to use that intentionally throughout today because I want us to think of that. The word governing is that which is directing, that which is influencing, and that more than that is that which it penetrates me to where I that's the direction that I take my life. So the governing is intentional. That I'm thinking of, you know, we have city officials and governors and presidents and all those the people in our lives that govern our lives, so to speak, right? We live in a country that we live in a democracy, yes, but we have officials that govern our lives. So is it not true then of the spiritual realm, of my walk, my life, my personal life, that there are spirits that govern my life? Or there's a spirit, so the question is, of what spirit governs my life? And so I wanted to, there's a verse and Jesus said something, and it was close to the time frame of his coming to the end of his life here on earth. And it was right after he'd fed 4,000. This is Mark chapter 8. And right after he feeds these 4,000 people with just 7 loaves of bread, and he has 7 baskets full left over and a few fish and all this left over here, and immediately he goes into the boat with his disciples, and as he's in this boat, he crosses over to the other side of the sea, and the Pharisees came out to seek him, and they began to argue with him. This is chapter 8. I'm starting in verse 11. I'm going to get to the verse that I want to get to so that give us a little bit of a backstory. The Pharisees came out, and they began to dispute with him, argue with him, seeking from him a sign from heaven, testing him, challenging him. And then that's what he did. He sighed deeply. And you get the picture of where Jesus is coming from. He's like, why does this generation seek a sign? Assuredly, I say to you that no sign shall be given to this generation. So here Jesus is. Is he getting fed up? Is he getting tired of this? Is he getting to where it's like, come on, people. Come on. But then he even takes it to another level. It goes even a little bit farther because in verse 13 he says, and then he left them. He basically says, you know what? You can almost hear it. It's like, forget it. If that's all you're looking for, that's not what I'm going to give you. You're not going to get it. For one, because you won't even see it. Even if a sign is given to you, you won't even see it. Because you'll be ever seeing but never really able to see. Ever hearing but never really able to hear. And so he's saying, it's just not going to happen. It's not going to happen. And then he says this, and this is after he gets back into the boat. He left them, getting into the boat again. He departed to the other side. So here it's like he's going across. Boom, boom. I mean, I don't know if he's trying to run or he's trying to get away or if he's trying to actually go to somewhere. But he's getting away from now these Pharisees. And so he comes to, as he's in the boat now the second time, in verse 14, the disciples had forgotten to take bread and they did not have more than one loaf with them in the boat. Okay, remember, this is right before he'd fed 4,000 people, 4,000 with 7 loaves of bread. And then now there's only 12, 13 with Jesus. And they're in this boat and there's one loaf of bread. Do you think that's going to be enough? Yeah, with Jesus there, it's always enough. And maybe that's a whole nother side message. When Jesus is in the boat, there's always enough. There's always enough. Always enough when Jesus is in the boat. Right? Come on. I got one amen. I can get another one. All right, there you go. Thank you. All right, praise the Lord. Good guys. All right, let's go, because I didn't even get to anything in my notes yet. Then verse 15, it says this. And then he charged them. And that's that word is charged, commanded. It's almost like he's saying, listen to me intently. Don't ignore this. Take heed, beware, take heed, beware, watch out for the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. take heed, beware, watch out for the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. And then if and then here's another deep sigh. And then they reason among themselves, saying, it is because we have no bread. Of course, they did have bread. They had one loaf. And really, that's all it takes is one loaf of bread. And God multiplies into it. So even what they were seeing wasn't true. But then they said this, Jesus, almost with another loud sigh, why do you reason because you have no bread? Do you not perceive and not understand? Is your heart still hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And don't you remember? Don't you remember? Look at those three things he's looking at. And this is, like I said, this isn't even in my notes, but I can't help but look at this stuff. Having eyes that you don't see and ears that you don't hear, but yet in a mind that doesn't bring to recollection the goodness of God and his provision, and remembering how much God cares for you. That's why I love it when we worship God. And we need to get into worshiping God, because when we sing worship and we expel our voice into proclaiming God's praises and who God is and how much he loves us and how much he cares for us, it's remembering, it's bringing to my eyes, my ears, and my mind how good and awesome God is. So, and this is, I need to allow the Holy Spirit to do this in each and every one of us. When we sit just like, oh, wait, no, I don't have a phone on me. I need to play with my phone, too. We're checking out to that place of where God is. There's this moment that God is saying, here, I want to remind you, I'm in the boat, friends. I'm in the boat. Look at me. Worship me. No, bring to your eyes, your ears, and your mind how awesome I am. And I love you and I care for you. And I'm here for you. If you focus on just, you know, I think that there's this intentionality that we've got to be about worshiping God that requires our mind, our ears, our eyes, our hands, our heart, our feet, a part of our bodies. If there's this sitting posture of nothingness, where does your mind go in a sitting posture of nothingness? I'll tell you where mine goes. It doesn't really go towards God. Honestly, I'm being very, it goes towards, I don't know, a baseball game that I'd like to be watching, a bill that needs to be paid, an attitude that somebody had against me. Let's see. Oh, man, I go anywhere and all over the place. I go all over the place really fast, really quick. But then when I do this other thing of sing and raise my hands and then, that's where my mind goes. That's where my heart is. That's where my lips are. That's where my eyes look. That's where my ears listen to what God is saying and doing to me. Oh, but man, this gets even deeper than this. Honestly, I didn't even get to my notes yet. Praise the Lord. So let's move on, because here's what I feel like the Lord has for us. He says these words of Jesus, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of Herod. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about that. Because these are Jesus' words that he says, I charge you. I'm saying, listen to me in this. It's very important. Do not forget this. Beware of this. Watch out. Take heed. Does that word end with those 12? Come on. Does that word end with those 12? Did it stop there? Was it just for that moment? Is it for us today? Very, very good. Exactly. So this is for us today, to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. So what is leaven? Let's talk about that for a second, because we need to find out what this is when he's talking about leaven. What is leaven? Somebody said sin. It symbolizes sin. It's a symbol of sin. Yeast is a type of leaven. And I didn't know that. I thought that yeast was leaven, but yeast is just simply a type of leaven. A leavening agent, if you will, is a definition that after reading everything from Google and Wikipedia and everybody and all these preachers and everything that talked about what leaven was, This is what I came up with. An infiltrating, modifying agent that has the ability to infect and influence the whole. A small amount of infiltrating, modifying agent that has the ability to infect and influence the whole. And it's typically activated by heat. Heat activates leaven. So it's not just yeast, because in nowadays, I don't know how many of you are into like cooking, like really like cooking stuff. I'm not talking about just old grandma's recipes and stuff. That's good stuff. But I'm talking about modern cooking, where, you know, it's not so much popular anymore to use yeast, because yeast it's bad for you, right? We've discovered that it grows in you and it's bad for you and it causes bad things. So they use other agents, modifying agents to cause breads and substances to rise, which is, they use what's, how many of you have ever done this research? You ever looked into it? It's molecular cooking. And what they use is they use nitrogen oxide to infiltrate a substance, a food, and they put this nitrogen oxide into it, and it's really cold, and then it all of a sudden, boom, it puffs up. It's how they make stuff like, I don't know if you guys realize this or not, but it's in stuff you buy at the store, whipped cream. A can of whipped cream has simply cream and nitrogen oxide in it that causes it, when it comes out, it goes, comes out, and it makes this puffy little stuff, and you're like, right? That's what you, yeah. That's a form of leaven, a form of leaven. But what is the purpose of it? What is the purpose of leaven? Now that I've talked about cooking. Okay, to change it, to alter its appearance. That's really what it does. It alters its appearance, and therefore, and not just the appearance, but also the structure of it. Because when we put leaven in a dough and it rises with, you know, you put it in the fridge and it won't rise, but you put it in the heat and the warmth, usually just something that's why you put a, you know, plastic covering, or, and if you really want it to rise quick, what do? You put it in the oven, right? And it rises really quick, right? Am I wrong about this? Do I know anything about cooking? Not a whole lot, but I know I've done a little bit. So here's what, and so what it does is the yeast or leaven, it causes an appearance to be more, it causes the actual substance, the actual dough, to appear to be bigger than, larger than it actually is. Follow me on that? So he's saying, beware of this leaven. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of Herod. Beware of something inside you, a spirit inside you, a working inside, a mindset, a thought pattern, a worldview inside of you that causes you to, that governs you and causes you to do something that is giving you an appearance of something that you're not.
That's like being puffed up.
Oh, just like being puffed up. Isn't that what leavened bread is? It's puffed up, right? And that's why when you cut into some, what's that? Sorry. Okay. I don't know about your head. That's Lindsay's head. Lindsay says big little stuff turns into big stuff in her head, not mine. Thank you, brother. I'm just teasing because that's typically what we yes. Are you guys with me this morning?
Yeah.
I need to make sure you guys are all awake and do a little dance or something in front of you. Okay, no. Don't need to dance. Okay, so we got that, what leaven is. Basically, and here I wrote down, that basically it puffs up the lump to give an appearance of being bigger than it actually is. Gassy air bubbles mixed in the real substance that actually causes, why when you cut into a nice loaf of bread, there, you see all these little holes everywhere. It's created by the leaven in the bread. It's these air bubbles, and when it cooks, they pop, and so therefore, you know, the air bubble is just an emptiness. There's a nothingness there. There's really nothing there. So that's why in Jesus saying in this warning, in this taking heed, he's saying, beware of something that inside of you that wants to make you appear to have something, but it's really nothing. In fact, it's more than just nothing. It is even damaging. It's damaging. And that's where when I asked about 11, somebody first piped in and said it's sin. Well, it's symbolic of sin. The Bible talks about leaven being sin, but it also the Bible does refer to leaven as being another agent, if you can. And so that's why I want us to think about this in the realm of governing spirits, if you will.
Eric,
yes, sir. Amen. Which is the double whammy, of course, we've discovered on what is good and bad, not good for us, is sugar and yeast are some of the two of the worst things for us. That's why you go on these, what are they, gluten-free diets and stuff. It's basically all that stuff removed, right? But sweetness and sugar is something that does require it feeds it. There's a feeding. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeast or leaven requires something sweet to feed it. Oh, I just want us to stop and think about that. Just dwell on this for a second. Just let's take these, because I want to take these and dissect them for just a minute in our midst, because I really do believe that these words of Jesus are for us here and now, today, to watch out for, beware of, take heed, be on guard, be mindful of. In fact, I think if there's an ignorance about them, you are prime target for those leavens to creep in and permeate your very thinking into the heart of who you are, and actually can govern you by that you can be governed by a spirit of Pharisees. I don't even know what the word is. A Pharisaical spirit. Is that a word? If it isn't, it is now. Is there a Herodian spirit? Sure. Oh, wait. How about a Holy Spirit? Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. The Holy Spirit. Let's let Him govern our lives. Amen. Here, they both have their origin based in the fear of man as opposed to the fear of God. Watch out. Be careful. Be on guard. So let's talk about, let's dissect them just for a smidge for here this morning. Pharisee, the leaven of Pharisee. What's that look like? The Bible refers to it also as a religious a religious hypocritical spirit. That's the word I was looking for. A religious hypocritical one that is, and here's how the core thought or the core of Pharisee is judgment. The core of it is judgment. In other words, I strain at gnats in my life, no, in your life. That's what I meant. Strain at gnats in your life and swallow camels in my life. As Jesus said you do as a Pharisee. Strain at gnats and swallow camels. And we look at people with a cynical, critical, and here's the parable that Jesus told was of one that stood aloof and large and tall and said, I thank you, God, that I am not like other men. And I am not like them, and I am not... I got to get up higher. I thank you that I am a little bit above... It's hard to do that. And it's a looking down on, and it can create inside of you a savior complex. Well, gosh, they need me to help them out, and it can create inside you this mindset and this worldview that says, well, you know, it's a good thing that I'm here. It's a good thing that God saved me because God really needs me for the kingdom of God. It's this. I look at myself as though I am way more important than I actually am. Is there value in you? I'm going to tell you something. There's so much value in you that God gave you His Son, Jesus. That's how valuable you are to Him. So that's not the issue. It is, she isn't value. Your value is at this height, according to God. God values you, loves you, cherishes you, so much so that he's given his life for you. But that doesn't give you a right and a right to have a perspective that I am it. Hello? You guys get that? Do we do? Because if we don't get that, we can easily fall into this. It's 11 and it creeps in tiny. Remember, 11 only is a tiny bit. It's a tiny thought. It's a tiny thought pattern. And it develops into a lifestyle, a way of thinking, of a looking down on. And, you know, I did it a couple of weeks ago talking about Samaritans and how we look at people and that are different than us. That's an infiltration of leaven when we look at people that are different than us and we look down on them with condemnation and judgment and because they maybe don't need even the same skin color or the same walk or the same clothes dress. You know, I use this illustration, you know, how dare me to look at somebody, some kid that wears his pants halfway down, to look at him as a lesser than person, as though he's just this messed up, screwed up person. I can't look at that person any longer that way. God has convicted me to not look at somebody that's not like me as though they're lesser than. Hello? I'm asking God, the Holy Spirit, to make that conviction real in every single one of us and even take it deeper in my own life to where I cannot look at anybody but with love and compassion for right where they're at. So they're different and they're confused. I was different and confused then. You know what? I was lost. I don't even know where Tonopah is. I'm still lost, I think. Amen. Not geographically. I got to tell you guys this. Robin just teases the heck out of me about it because it's really quite comical. It really is quite comical. I laugh at myself. I could walk into a store if I'm not familiar with it. In other words, if I haven't walked into it 30 times or so, and forget which way is out. What? But I've always been that way. There's no excuse of my mind is not getting. I've had senior moments since I've been a kid. And those, if that's the case, I just don't have a bearing in my mind or my body. I don't know if it's a bearing in my body of which way is which. East, west, south, north. The only reason I know that is north is because I've lived in this town for over 30 years. That's it. You set me over somewhere like even just 10 miles that way, and I will not be able to tell you which way is north. It seems like, and she asks, how do you drive around? All I do is drive around and go pick up stuff, and it's like, how do you do it? So I make a lot of U-turns. And that's with GPS. I know. There's a reverse in the car. It's like, yeah, I can. It's just fine. Anyway, with all that said, Pharisaical spirit, it stems from pride. The core thought is judgment, and it stems from pride. We really do have to beware of it. And I feel like there's a, not that I feel like, I need you to understand that in each and every one of us, there is a chink, if you will, in your armor. And one of the biggest ones is pride. That's one of the most difficult issues of life to deal with that we constantly. And so it is something that I firmly believe that we have to constantly be on guard with. Because pride and judgment and looking at people and comparing people to myself with other people and things, it is a leaven of Pharisee that we have to be on guard with. We have to be very careful about. We have to look at intentionally and be honest with it. Because remember, leaven is it's a puffing up of the real substance. God is into you, the real you, the real substance of you. It's really kind of laughable. It's got to be, even to God, that when we try to, in some way, portray ourselves to be something other than we're not to God. Think about it. That's laughable, is it not? Because God loves and is so into you. He died for you while you were yet a sinner. That's how much he loves and cares for you, and that's how much he's into you. That's awesome, and that's the gospel good news of the Christ crucified that we preach and we talk about and we live, is that God loved you and gave his life for you while you were a sinner, while I was a sinner. That's good news. There's nothing in me that has any grounds, and when we sing about, I will boast of the Lord my God, that's what that's saying. The only thing good in me is from God, and the only good that comes out of me is from God. And if you haven't come to that conclusion, then I'm praying for you, because that's a Pharisaical spirit. If you think that you've got good in your heart on your own, you're fooling yourself. It's unbiblical. The Bible speaks of our hearts as being desperately wicked, that we can't even really know, but God knows and he loves. And that's, he wants to get to the substance. That's why it's, he even created a whole week of feasts, a whole week that we feast in regards to this very, very thing. It's the Feast of Unleavened Bread that lasts a whole week for us to identify that's the substance. And this is me just saying it. I know that there's more to it. It's about them leaving Egypt hastily, quickly, and not having time to let the bread rise and cook a good meal for the road. But it's also to say, I'm taking you just as you are. And that's who I want. I don't want the puffed up Eric. I want the real Eric. I want the real one. The unleavened one, the one that's got substance and character and virtue and purpose. That's what God speaks to me, and he's speaking that to each and every one of you. He's speaking that. Are you guys hearing him speak that? And that's what I, and so here's where it's the next leaven real quick is the leaven of Herod, which is an interesting one, I think, because it's one that if we look at in today, right here and now, in this very moment in our time, it is one of political positioning, and of course you can kind of see the jockeying, if you will, by politicians to position themselves for or against certain issues, to have a position of portrayal so that the people can see the person as a little bit different than they actually are, or they'll be, it's a fear of man as opposed to a fear of God. They're positioning themselves. We could do this. He's saying that, remember, Jesus spoke these words to the 12 disciples that we are receiving as a word for us. This isn't just for the politicians, for us to condemn them for not being, you know, authentic. Be careful in even going that route, because as soon as you condemn somebody for not being authentic, what have you just done? You've turned into the 11 of the Pharisees. You've let that creep in. Because now I'm looking down on you in judgment because you're not like me, authentic, right? Those were air quotes if you couldn't see that with the bottle of water. You guys following me on this? So it's a how do we be careful, be on guard, take heed to 11 of Herod? And it's because when we, here's really what it comes down to. It's a regard for what others think of you, more so than a regard of what God thinks of you. And then it becomes almost, because if you regard what others think of you as more important, you have to disregard of what God thinks of you. You cannot go both ways. You can't flip-flop. You can't serve two masters. You can't go two directions at the same time. Right? Impossible. You just can't do it. So what do we do then? What does it create? It creates this. It creates a watered-down, milquetoast, lukewarm Christian life. You have to. You have to live. If the leaven of Herod is inside of you and it's governing you, it has created inside of you a watered-down, milquetoast, lukewarm, lived life in Christ. A Christian life that's lukewarm. Because you have to be concerned about what others are thinking about you all the time. What others are going to say about you. It'll basically keep you from obeying and fearing and walking with God. It'll keep you from the Holy Spirit moving in you and you trusting God with every iota of your life. It will keep you from that. So here's where I'm going to take it is because I don't want to go too long in that because I want us to be careful of how we not to become critical of this, and not just in others, but also especially in our lives. Let's be honest and open about it. Let's be very apparent and again to the substance of what God is wanting to deal with in me and in my own heart and in my soul, the motives of my thoughts is to get to the real person of me. That's what he's intentionally wanting to do. That's what he's out for. So either of these leavens, as they creep in, whether it's Pharisee or Herod, what they do is they cause a puffing up, and it keeps God from getting to me. It gives me this appearance of being something other than I am. And it actually keeps me from walking in the Spirit and being governed by the Holy Spirit. It will actually keep me from being governed by the Holy Spirit. Because here's what it comes down to. The foundational gospel of Christ and Him crucified is how I am to govern my life, and allowing God the Holy Spirit to get into the depths of my soul of who I am. When I allow that, when I allow God the Holy Spirit to get into the depths of who I am and get into the nitty-gritty, dirty stuff of my life, that's where true spiritual freedom comes. That's where life stems from, and that's where goodness will actually come out and proceed out, because it will be an absolute God-glorifying humility, right? When I allow that, I allow the God to be glorified who loved me and died for me. And more than that is now He dwells inside of me, that I am seeking to glorify Him in everything I say and do and even think and watch and hear, to where now I am living my life by the power of the Holy Spirit, governed by the Holy Spirit, without, and there's got to be you got to be careful with this message, because this can very easily go into a realm of like saying, forgive the expression, but to heck with everybody, I'm just going to listen to God, right? You know, where it's kind of like, well, you know, and here's where I've seen some of us Christians go is we'll take this to what God's telling me to do this, and you know, you ain't got nothing to say about it. You got to be careful. You understand what I'm saying is there's wisdom in this, in listening to God. Because when we listen to God, what are the attributes of hearing from God and listening to God? That, you know, Monty asks, doesn't there need to be discernment whether it's from God or yourself? Hello, every single one of us are trying to figure that out almost every single day, right? Is there anybody in the room that's not? That was a weird question. I didn't know whether to raise my hand or not. What, called the Bible? Yeah, no, it's called the Word of God. Amen. Amen. It's called the Bible. It's called the Word of God. Here's, Monty, that's a good question. I really appreciate it, because that's exactly what we're after. There is. There's an absolute answer. The Word of God is, Mike will know this very well. Listen to this. Listen, follow me closely with this. This is kind of fun. When we went to Arizona through Tonopah, we visited an old friend of mine there that was in Arizona that lives there right in Scottsdale. And this old friend of mine, we grew up in a grade school together, lives there 15 minutes away from Cameron right now, which was really a blessing. It was really cool. And this guy is he's a respected professional musician. I mean, he's been playing the drums since he was Cameron's age, which was like 5 years old. Ever since I known him, he was a drummer. And so you guys, some of you might even remember who he was. He came and visited a couple times, but his name's David. And so we visited him, went over to his place, and they had us over for dinner, and we went into his studio. He has, of course, a massive studio with all these drum kits set up in there, and they were so cool. I mean, he had these drum heads. I've never even seen them before. Drum heads that were silent. A real drum set that had silent heads on them. And then he had another set that had muffled heads on them. And then and there's three more sets in the garage that he said that this one is. And so here's what, it was kind of fun because Cameron is there now and he isn't playing any music right now because he hasn't really plugged into a worship team yet, but he's working on that. He's praying about that and all that stuff. So so when he got on this drum set, he was like, oh, this is so cool. And he started blaring and going at it and stuff. And it was really neat. And you guys all know how talented Cameron is. And, you know, when we look at him, we're like, wow, he just makes it look so easy and smooth. And he makes it look like, man, he makes it sound so good, you know, right? I mean, that's how at least I see him. And when he drums, I don't know, maybe I'm biased a little bit. But as there's a point to this story, so follow me. As we're listening and I'm sitting there videoing and I'm like, I think I got a smile that wraps around my head and stuff, you know, and I'm just like, just really loving on this time together. And David, my friend, is like, all right, well, he goes, you sound all right. He goes, let me pull out the, what's it called? But it's in the system, in his recording system that, and he says, in here, let me stick these on you. And he sticks headphones on him to where that's all he hears is this click, click, click. That's perfect, perfectly timed to, and it doesn't, it's not man-made. Well, it's perfectly timed and he's got to play to that now. So he does this, and this was kind of fun because he stuck these headphones on with this metronome or metronome. It's a, yeah, Cameron and David both agree. But as a professional, there's got to be such precise timing, especially in the one that's carrying the beat, that's carrying the rhythm, the drummer. And so he puts these things on these headphones and he starts this thing up and Cameron's like, and he's trying to play and then he's trying to play. And then all of a sudden, David, he turns it to where we could hear it. And it was like, and Mackenzie and I were sitting in there and we're like, wow, Cameron, you're really not that good. And I mean, he's okay, but you're just off time quite a bit. You know, it was like, wow. And Cameron was like, it was frustrating to him to try to, he's like, man, I got to practice. And David was funny. He's like, yeah, welcome to my life. This is, you know, there's got to be such precision. Here's the point of that. And I want us to hear this very clearly, is that God's word is perfect. It's perfect. It's flawless. It's got everything in it to run your life, live your life, think your life by. When we do that, when we go by his word, it's as though we're setting that headphone of the metronome, is that what it's called? Is it right? Into our ear, into our timing, into our system, to where now that's the drum beat that I march to. I march to the beat of God the Holy Spirit speaking through his word into my life, to where now that's the fear of God. That's the Holy Spirit governing my life, to where when something tries to creep in as a thought into my mind and into my heart that is a leaven of Pharisee or a leaven of Herod that I'm watchful of, because Jesus said to be watchful, to be mindful, to be careful, to take heed of, I've got to do that. I've got to do that. I've got to be obedient to what God's saying to do and be watchful of it. I can't just say, well, that's for other people. That's for, you know, those religious Pharisees. We ain't them. They're across the street or down the road or, you know, We're the salt mine. That was extremely... You guys caught it. You guys caught it. Be careful. I say be careful. I'm careful. We need to be careful, or else we can easily fall into that. Amen? Ah, this is great. Do you remember what activates leaven? Heat. Here's how, let me just throw something at you real quick. Pay attention to this week. How can I identify what type of leaven or what type of spirit is governing my life? Ooh. When the heat gets turned up, throw a problem into the mix of anybody's life and watch how we respond. Watch how I respond. Watch where I go in my thoughts. A problem, trouble, an issue. And if I instantly go to condemning judgment or you know, a pride that swells up to me in me that's got to defend myself because I'm right. I don't care if you don't like me, and I don't even care if you know I'm a Christian. I'm right. To heck with you. And I'm doing it by God's righteous standard. Got to do it with a right? And you're going to hell because you don't think like me. Wow. None of you deal with that, right? None of you growl. Shoot, man, all you got to do is blare your horn at me, and that's what I instantly do. Yeah, blare your horn at me, and all the... Oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. Okay, I got to act like one. Yeah. The growl. Robin's like, don't make that face ever again. I know it. She tells me that all the time. Don't make that face ever again. Okay. Problems quickly reveal what is governing your life. Problems quickly reveal what is governing my life. Hello? That's not to expose and not to embarrass and humiliate, but it's to say, okay, that's what's governing my life. And so we can easily identify when a problem rises up. In my prayer, and I think we need to aspire to as we walk with God. So here's the key. If that's the case, how do we allow a constant governing by the Holy Spirit in my life to direct me, to govern me, to influence me, to infiltrate even every aspect of my life to where it's God the Holy Spirit is the modifying agent. And I know that's theologically incorrect, but I'm using because God the Holy Spirit is God. He's not an agent, and he's not a force, and he's not a thing. He is God. But he's got to be the modifying agent that has the ability to infect and influence the whole of me. Hello? Right, okay, let's go with that then. Here's what I come up with as far as, and this is pretty cool. It's in John chapter 15, and I want us to listen to this because this is really cool. I think this is a revelation that God wants to give us. God wants to speak to us about this very, very topic, and I think it's absolutely amazing. I don't know. When you read through the book of John and you read the last bit of Jesus' life, and John chapter 15 is this discourse that he has with his disciples at the end of his time here on earth, and he says this in verse 14. He says, I love verse 14. He says, "You are my friends. You are my friends. If you do whatever I command you, no longer do I call you servants. For a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give you. These things I command you, that you love one another." I don't want to talk about this for a minute because I can't help but take this to a deep level in my own heart and mind. The word Jesus is using here, he's saying, you are my friends if you do whatever I command. I want to say, I want you to right now just reflect and just think about this for a second. How do you process that very statement? Processing that very statement, how do you interpret that very statement will determine whether or not you are a friend of God or you have a Pharisaical spirit in you. I just set you up, didn't I? A little bit. Because here's what a Pharisaical spirit will say, is that if I do, then God will accept me and love me. Right? Does it say that? It doesn't say it like that, does it? It can be read like that if there's a religious Pharisaical spirit in you that operates, because it's not like that, though. It's, here's what he's saying, and I want to say it's as simple as this. It's raining outside. If I walk outside without an umbrella, I am going to get wet. Did you hear the if in there? Okay, the if was saying, this is what's going to happen when you do this. Right? Yeah. Right? Do you guys get that? I want us to understand that really quick. Here's the thing is, if I walk outside doesn't determine whether or not I'm going to get wet or not, or whether or not it's raining or not, but the if is saying, here's what I'm saying you guys are. I'm challenging you. You are my friends. You are my friends. And here's what it looks like to be my friend. Here's what it looks like to be my friend. You love one another. You care about one another. You listen to me and I speak to you. I want us to look at, what does it look like to be a friend of God? And I'm going to do this, I think, next week, because I can't do it all this week. We know of the Trinity, right? As a believer in Jesus, we know of this thing called the Trinity that we talk about. We refer to as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. I know that kind of creates this place in our mind and in our heart a little bit of some confusion, of some, maybe not confusion really, but I don't fully get it. I don't fully understand it. I really believe this is absolutely true, is that there's, I think when we try to distinguish the three and make them separate is where we create our own confusion for ourselves. Is when we try to make them and we give them roles. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. And when we give them roles and purposes for us, it's kind of laughable. I just did laugh at it. But when we give them roles, when we give God roles like that, and we distinguish them as though here's what God the Father's like, here's what God the Son's like, and here's what God the Spirit's like, and here's what God the Father does, here's what God the Son does, and here's what God the Spirit does. We've got to be extremely careful with that. I believe this within me because I believe that a friend of Jesus is a friend of God the Father. A friend of Jesus is one who listens to and speaks with God the Holy Spirit. Is there this distinguishable difference in between them to where I like, ooh, wait, I'm talking to Jesus. Ooh, I'm talking to God the Holy Spirit. Ooh, I'm listening to God the Holy Spirit. Oh, wait, God the Father wants to say this to me. And it, man, that's like confusing. Who do I talk to today? Who do I talk to at this moment? What am I talking to? Who am I talking to? What am I talking about? I don't know. This sounded like the third base thing, huh? First base. But it can create that. Are you guys, is this only me? Am I the only, maybe? I'm the only weirdie. Good. Yes. Yes. All right. Good luck.
Mm-hmm. 4th century Christian said that we experience God in different ways. Mm-hmm. God is the originator of love.
Amen.
Jesus brought it down and made it visible. Mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit makes it real.
Amen.
And that's really good, and I appreciate that. And that's, Augustine did have a very good point, but I still feel like okay.
That's a way I love God.
Mm-hmm.
I want to please Him.
Mm.
And what He tells me, I want to do.
Amen. And that is a friend of God. That is a friend of Jesus. That is a friend of the Holy Spirit. When there's this, as Jesus said it, because you are my friends, here's what you do. This is what a friend of mine looks like. I have friends. I have friends. I do. A couple. There's such a... I don't even want to... It's hard to even put it in human words, but there's a bond of connection to where there's this... A true friend is one that's looking out for your best interest at all times and at all costs. A true friend, as Jesus said, it is greater love has no one than he who lays down his life for his friends. And it's not reversed. And greater love is no one than he who lays down his friends for his life. That you can't reverse that. It's as Jesus said it. So there is this, a friend with God is one who I... There's this connection there that he's into me and I am into him. I abide in him and he abides in me. He speaks to me and I listen, and I speak to him and he listens. I can have conversation and even disagreements with God. I have friends that I don't agree with, and I have disagreements with them. And it doesn't alter our friendship. It enhances it. It deepens it. Because we get each other now. We get where we're coming from. Is that what God... Does God desire that type of intimate friendship relationship with each and every one of us? Absolutely. Isn't that so cool? And that takes us to a really deep place of like, wow, I don't know if I could figure this out in my finite mind. I absolutely 100% depend on and need God the Holy Spirit even within me to develop that friendship with God himself. That's cool. That's taken my relationship with God to places that I can't even determine other than just going that direction. Are you guys following me on that a little bit, even though it's not really followable? Don't you guys do you understand that? One last point, and I'm going to make this point because this is super cool. And I know I think I've talked for like an hour or more. Thank you. We're coming upon what we call Resurrection Sunday, Easter. I'd like us to really take this. If the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, is the Spirit of the resurrected Christ, He dwells in you. He dwells in me. He lives in me. And he's a modifying agent that transforms my thinking and my heart's motives and things about me that are not, that I personally am not capable of. But in Christ, all things are possible. All things are doable. Even loving people that are unlovable. I be one. The Spirit of the resurrected Christ dwells in you. What does resurrection need? What does resurrection need? Can I just, I want, the question is kind of, huh? Death. Resurrection needs death. Do you realize that God the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the resurrected Christ dwells in you, is seeking death? In other words, I want to take this to a deep place. He's seeking to give life where things are dead. He's seeking inside of you, from you, within you, to use you to give life where people are dead. Where there's death going on in our world, in your society, in your family, in your place, workplace. He's using you as the resurrected Spirit of Christ inside of you to bring life into it. Wow. I'm going to tell you, that takes you, man, look out. Because he's saying, I want to take you and bring life. Because that's God. That's God in me. That's God in me. It's almost as though it's like he's looking for places to do the impossible. Who's he going to use? Not Donald Trump? Sorry, friends. He's not going to use him. He's going to use you. He's not going to fix it. God, the Holy Spirit inside of each and every one of you can fix right where you're at and bring life into it. Amen? Man, that's a good one. That was a good one. That's a good one for me. For me. For me. That's what I meant. From God to me. Yeah. Every day, spirit of restoration, spirit of recovery, spirit of resurrection. And in every moment, in every situation. So what's going to happen when God allows, and he does, heat to be just slammed right into the middle of your day? Bam. I'm bringing life into it. God, the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father God, and let's worship the Lord. Father God, we just thank you for your love for us that is even beyond, even as someone to be able to, a human to be able to put it in words, but by your Spirit, you could put it in our hearts. You could put it in even in my mind where I can receive and understand, and in my ears where I could hear, and my eyes where I could see your grace, and you could fill me with grace and goodness and bring me to a place where mercy triumphs and grace is champion. Oh, and goodness is a part of my everyday. And kindness is something that I look for. And those things are just simply a part of following you and allowing you to govern my life. And Father God, in the name of Jesus, by the power of your Spirit, we just repent of anything that's not of you. Whether it's a spirit of a Pharisee, a spirit of Herod, spirit of a Sadducee, spirit of that which is not of you, we want to be governed by you. We proclaim that, we declare that, and we invite you, God the Holy Spirit, to govern our lives. In Jesus' name, in the name above all names, Jesus. Amen. Amen.